Hello, and welcome back to We're Not So Different, a podcast about how we've always been idiots. My name is Luke, and we're just doing a quick intro here today because, me and Eleanor are both sick and run down this week, and we kept pushing back our recording, really trying to get something done, and we just couldn't do it because the time and alignment didn't work out. So yeah, we are unlocking this recent Patreon episode. It's our review of A Knight's Tale. We did it. It's audio from a live stream we did for our patrons. So check it out. If you like it, we do more stuff like this on the Patreon, and you should sign up for $5 a month if that's something you like. Patreon.com/WNSDpod. You can actually see the live stream video from where we did this if you want to check it out, which was fun. And yeah, you get access to like 30 more bonus episodes. Next week, we'll be releasing our final episode in our book club series on the Silmarillion. Yeah, so it's a lot to check out. And also remember that, this is episode 98. So 99 will be next week. And then after that, it'll be episode 100. And we're doing a big mailbag. So check out our Twitter, and you can ask questions for that. It's our pinned thread for our Twitter account. You can DM us, I guess you can email us, or you can, if you're a patron, you can message us in Discord chat or on Patreon DMs, and yeah, we will answer a whole lot of questions for that episode, and it'll be a lot of fun. Not much today, unfortunately, as you might be able to tell, not feeling very hot. We wanted to do one, but we just couldn't. We're delaying the heresies until next time, but don't worry, we'll be getting to the Reformation and all that jazz next week, and then also releasing our final episode on the Silmarillion. So yeah, check it out. Enjoy this, enjoy the other content that we've done. Sorry we couldn't make it work this week. We hope you understand. And yeah, we will we'll see you when we feel better, hopefully next week. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll talk to you later. Oh, and buy Eleanor's book, The Once and Future Sex. I think it's out now in America too. So check it out. That's really cool. She did a really good job with it. Yeah, so thanks a lot, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Fantastic.
Okay, I think we got it.
Okay, got it.
All right. Hello, and welcome back to We're Not So Different, a podcast about how I'm now nervous because people are actually looking at me. Other people are actually looking at me. My name is Luke. You know the drill. I'm an amateurish historian. This is what I look like. As always, I'm joined by Dr. Eleanor Yanega, who always looks like that. Everyone knows what she looks like because, because people are like, hey, do you want to come in and talk on our TV show? And no one ever says that, even though I've got a cat. I've got a cat. Hey, Bella.
You know, Luke. Let's just say yes.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, patrons, so much for joining us. We are here to talk about A Knight's Tale, just for brief intro on the movie, in case, I guess, you're unaware. I guess it would seem kind of weird if you were, but you know what? You got to intro the show somehow, and this is what you get. So, A Knight's Tale was released on May 11th, 2001. Jesus Christ. How old I was. I was still 16 at the time. A spry young 16.
I was a freshman in uni.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. You weren't in uni?
2001.
You were not in. No, you weren't.
Hey, yes, I'm the class of 2000, homie.
How old are you?
I'm 40, bitch.
You
know this.
I do not. I actually thought I was older. No.
We had this discussion in July when I turned 40.
God, you did turn 40. God damn it. Why the hell did I then think? I thought you were 32. I thought you were 32.
You can stick around. All right.
Uh-huh. I'm not doing this to flatter you. I don't have to do that.
And yet it's working.
I really thought you were much younger than me, which is why I said something about me being older than you last time, which now just seems very condescending. Hi everyone.
Hey, a Knight's Tale. It's a podcast about how old we are.
It's true. This is how it goes. A Knight's Tale was directed by Brian Helgeland and stars Heath Ledger, Paul Bettany,
RIP.
Shannon, I think Soseman, Mark Addy, the amazing Mark Addy, Alan Tudyk, Rufus Sewell, Laura Fraser, and more. And in case you didn't know, the title is taken from one of the chapters of Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales called The Knight's Tale. So I just figured we'd start out and, both start out with kind of an opening thing just about the movie. I don't know, maybe something about why medieval historians like this so much, something like that.
Yeah.
and then I can talk about why I like the movie, which is definitely way different than that.
I don't know. I suppose that the reason why medieval historians like this is because it gets the vibe right. Right? Like, this is the thing. There's this tendency, Monty Python and the Holy Grail aside, but there's this tendency to treat medieval history like it's necessarily really serious, right? Like it's just completely dour, no fun was ever had, see things like In the Name of the Rose, which, whilst a good movie and absolutely bonkers, is like, oh, everything is very, serious, blah 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 blah. And what A Knight's Tale does really well is it shows that people in the Middle Ages had fun. Mm-hmm. People in the Middle Ages were fans of sports. People in the Middle Ages were regular ass people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all like lofty and involved in church intrigue. There is this other stuff going on that is really like life affirming. And I mean, aside from that, it's possibly one of the best, as someone on Twitter said today, probably one of the best sports movies ever made.
It is. It really. I, as someone who loves sports, generally, I was very enamored by how much the movie appreciates sports. I really was.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, and medieval people fucking love sports, right? And this was the biggest game in town, right? So, it gets all of those things right. And also, by kind of embracing anachronisms, it really frees you to understand that vibe really well.
Mm-hmm.
And as a general rule, I think that we tend to like things that are sort of deliberately anachronistic, because then you don't have to sit there and be like, oh, well, actually, I think he'll like, whereas, like, the problem is stuff like, for example, Braveheart, which is completely historically inaccurate, but then acts really seriously, so then people take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
If you're already poking fun at yourself, then it's safe. We don't have to, like, check your homework, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. As for me, I had never seen it, and I was watching it, and I was really taken by how much they just don't make movies like this anymore. And I don't mean that from like a, reactionary, like, oh, back in my day, things were, but like, they literally don't make movies like this anymore. They don't.
Yeah.
This movie is essentially like a mix of like a rom-com and like a high school college like romp kind of thing, like a She's All That, 10 Things I Hate About You, stuff like that, with that is mixed in as a sports movie that basically treats jousting like American WWE wrestling, like, and that's good, but like, you couldn't get that thing made now.
No.
like unless it was like, somebody's pet project, like a James Cameron or someone like that. Cameron can, he makes so much money, he could do whatever he wants. whether you like the movies or not is neither here nor there. But you know, they just don't make that movie anymore. And it reminded me, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday. It reminded me of this, interview. I think it was for the like thing Hot Ones, where people go and eat hot wings on video.
Nuts.
I think, and it was Matt Damon, and the host was talking about Rounder, the movie Rounders, which is from the mid-90s. It's about like underground poker rings in New York, and Matt Damon.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Edward Norton, John Malkovich plays like a Russian gangster poker player. He's great in it. And he was saying like they just don't make movies like this anymore because. Because the industry has changed so much. Now it's like, okay, in order to get a movie out the door, you have to have like everything ready to go. You have to have everything lined up. It's going to have to make X amount of money or have this weird backing or, you know, be like a, you know, like an IP franchise movie, you know, like an MCU, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, whatever you want to call it. But back then, you know, like they could put out these movies because they would put it out and everybody would go see it. People would go see it all over the world because everybody was going to see movies and everybody liked it. And Americans were going to see movies in droves. But then even after that, even after they got that money, they could like DVD sales, like DVD sales were huge. And so like you could just have like, you know, you could just have. You could make Rounders and you could make this movie for $60 million and double the money and make $120 million at the box office and like go home and like it's great and you've got this really fun movie. And now like, you know, you just don't see stuff like this anymore. It's very rare. And that's a shame because, you know, obviously this movie is not, you know, it's not like The Godfather or Seventh Seal or something like that. It's not the highest art, but it's a really fun movie and a really, what am I trying to say? Oh, just a really enjoyable take on this.
Yeah.
And
like,
shit, and I got to get my notes. I left them in there. I'll be sorry.
Go for it. Yeah. No, I'm just going to say, whilst Luke's doing that, I think that's totally the case because, you know, it's, you don't have this room for smaller budget films to then like possibly blow up, right? There's no belief in that. You know what I mean? Like, there's this idea that you have to put in all of this money and then like completely clobber the box office. It's either got to be like a completely poured in, or maybe you can do something kind of like middle of the road indie darling and something will come back, but there just isn't this room for kind of the little guy. And I think part of that has to do also with like streaming services and the way that things are now, because like, yeah, people won't go out of the house, right? They'll just you know, stick another Netflix show on, and you know, Netflix doesn't, you know, it doesn't like budget for things like this either.
Yeah.
So you know, even where you know, you would say, well, that's maybe where you could get startup capital from. Probably not so much, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jacob in the chat says they don't make mid-budget movies anymore, and that's exactly right. Like that's a great way of saying it. They literally do not make movies like this anymore, and it really it's really annoying because they're cool. Like, I mean, you know, like, It's a fun movie, you know. It's a fun movie for me to sit down and watch, you know. I'm sure, just like, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You and stuff like that back when we were kids, or when we were younger anyway. You know, that was really fun, you know, so I'm sure, you know, it appeals to a lot of people.
I went to go see 10 Things I Hate About You in the theater this summer because the theater across the street from me was like doing a kind of like 90s movies thing. And I was the most annoying bitch in the theater because since it's filmed in Tacoma. And so like half the extras in it are just kids I went to high school with. And like my best friend, shout out Patty Harburg Petridge, is like a featured extra in it. And she's in like the scene in the shop in the background. And she's also in the marching band. And so she was there all the time. And like, I was just sitting there the entire time going, that's Jimmy Clavitz. That's Marlo Berger. That's actually here. You know, and kind of like talking about all these things and like everyone being like, boo. And I'm like, I own this movie, actually.
Yeah,
people from Tacoma actually own 10 Things I Hate About You. Thank you. So,
yeah. That's like me with the movie Remember the Titans, because they filmed that in my hometown.
Really?
They filmed a lot of it there, yeah. And like, I know a couple people who are like extras in it. You know,
Yeah.
it's you know. Yep, we own the movies that are filmed where we live, obviously.
Obviously. Obviously.
Yeah, so basically, you know, we're just gonna talk through the movie, then do some questions, then, you know, go home, or I guess go to a different part of the home. Anyway, yeah, so the movie starts out, and it's just, you know, starts out as any good story does, with an old knight shitting himself to death
You
in
know,
in a field somewhere.
as so many did, as so many did. You know, I always maintain that like this is something that they picked up on in Game of Thrones. Like, I think that really a knight's tale is kind of like what you know, the Onion Knight is talking about. That's where it comes from. This is what I always say.
Yeah, and actually, you're completely right. I was going to talk about it in a little bit, but so A Knight's Tale is very similar in a lot of ways to A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which are a series of short stories, a collection of short stories Martin has written about, which take place, I think, like 150 or so years before the books. And maybe not that long, maybe 120. It doesn't matter. They take place before that, and it's about this, this knight called Duncan the Tall, and he gets a squire who's like a secret member of the
Targaryen.
Targaryen line,
Yeah.
you know, all that sort of stuff. They're called the Duncan Egg stories, and they're very fun, and they're very reminiscent of this. And you're absolutely right, because Martin took a lot from Chaucer when he was writing that stuff. So yeah, they're Onion Knight, all the Brienne stuff is very,
Yeah.
especially in the books, is very heavily influenced by this. Yeah, because, you know, all the stuff about what is a true knight and all that sort of stuff, you know, Martin's
Yeah.
working through that in the same way. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. I agree about that. And yeah, somebody in the chat, I missed it, who said it, that Mark Addy and Heath Ledger are just dynamite together in this movie. And that is absolutely right. They are great.
You know,
Amazing.
the chemistry between those two,
Mm-hmm.
like, you know, it's just like, a dude's rocking, which is one of my favorite cinematic tropes, is the fact that
Yeah.
dudes rock.
Yeah, I love Mark Addy in this, doing the of course he would later move into our hearts as King Bobby B, Robert Baratheon on Game of Thrones. I know he's known for a whole lot of stuff. He's a very accomplished actor, but you know, I am who I am. So yeah, he's great. I love him. Like the casting in this is great. Alan Tudyk with just an insanely over the top fake accent, like
Oh, so
great.
good. Come on.
His hair is dyed. And it's so funny, because in the beginning of it, his hair is like red, red. And then, as you can, like, as different parts of it are shot, his hair like is kind of fading in the dyeing process. So like at certain points, it's kind of orangish or whatever. And I love it. I'm just like, yeah, like, yeah, you know, like,
You just like me for real, you know?
yeah, why,
Like,
like, why, yeah, why would you, you know, we don't need to pretend that this is, that this is, you know, something that it isn't. And I really like that. It's, you know, it's just fantastic. Yeah. So, the other thing I got to say about the beginning, the "We Will Rock You" crowd chanting thing, where they not only do that, but they have like a sitcom style intro credits around it. Delightful. Like, you know, it just gets you
So
set up
good.
for what you want the whole time. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, and I think that it's really, really good because it helps to people to kind of understand how into it people really were, which is true. You know, they were just this fucking jazzed, right? Like, you know, and you would be too. Like, I've gone to see live jousting. Well, I haven't gone to see it. But like I've seen it because like at one of the big medieval conferences one year Leeds the, like it used to be in like the old halls of residence at Leeds University, and when we were moving from there into like the town the next year, they brought like these professional jousters out, and everyone lost their goddamn mind. Like, you got like a bunch of like drunk medievalists just be like, and then it was hilarious because, like, you know, they'd be like talking us through the historical things about it, and they'd be like, "Well, you know more about this than us," and we were like, "No, we don't, sir. I don't know how to joust, you know." And then, you know, because you know, God is great or whatever. When I was then like shooting my TV show about medieval sports, I got to see those guys.
Hell yeah.
But like for the purposes of me, they put the whole thing on, and I was just like, I was just losing it. I was just losing it. It was so much fun. It's so cool. It's so engaging. All you have to do is like see some jousting, and you're like, you know what? Yeah, fucking, you just bring it back right now.
Yeah.
Bring it back right now.
It looks so much fun. I love it. I did have two like kind of preliminary questions. First of all, do you know how much a lance weighs?
So much. Interestingly, because I was asking them about this when I filmed the thing, and I was like, so what do you make lances out of now? And they use kind of lighter woods now than there were at the time for the purposes of safety. So they use things more like pine and things like that that they know are going to shatter really well because that's what they want to do. Whereas the older lances in the medieval period would have been heavier and then were made also with heavier woods. So it wouldn't be unusual to have kind of like an oak lance or something like that. But this is a safety thing because because you will die, right? And a lot of people did die doing jousting and things like that. So pretty heavy. Like now they're around like 10 kilos or something like that. At the time they could be like much heavier. Like you got to be strong. The dudes I was talking to who do this, they were like pretty hench, I would say. So yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. The other one, and I think I already know the answer, but did anybody joust left-handed?
I don't think you could because
Yeah, that's what I
of just how it
figured.
was set up. So like you would just have to work around it,
I mean, holding the lance, is something I guess you could do with your offhand. Although I guess, they probably thought being left-handed was a mark of Satan or something. I don't know.
Sinister.
Yeah. However that works, yeah. Yeah, so the movie starts out, the guy dies, Heath Ledger takes his place, they try to talk him out of it. There's a big guy and a skinny guy who's his best bud, and they're fighting, something you don't get nowadays. We don't have enough, just like two guys who are like drunk as shit, like just wailing
So
on
true,
each
mate.
other, but they're best friends and they hang out every day. Alan Tudyk wants food. Heath Ledger just wants to be fucking good looking.
God, what a
Delightful.
dreamboat.
He's so handsome. His
He's
smile.
so good. Oh my God.
It is
He's so good looking.
insane that his smile is that big. And I think of, and I, every time he would smile like that with that thing where his lips came out to like right here, all I could see was the Joker and that smile. And it is like insane that like that is just his regular mouth. Delightful. Delightful person. So he wins. He wins a he doesn't get killed, and decides he's gonna try it again, and they have to have a chit chat. Everybody's upset. They talk. They have a nice little hangout at the gallows where they just talk in the in front of the guy who's hanging there, and like he finally convinces him, and then we have a training montage like 8 minutes into the
Look,
movie, like
yes.
easily the earliest training montage I can possibly remember. Like
You know,
it's
one of the
insane
best.
they were yeah oh yeah it's great. It's insane that they were able to set down enough plot to do a training montage in 8 minutes or nine or whatever it was. It's ridiculous.
So good. Yeah, like I love the training montage because I just like montages generally. I think they're good. And lots of close-ups on Heath. They're great. You know, can't say better than that.
Yeah, exactly. You can't you can't beat a good-looking guy like that. So yeah, it you get the whole training sequence, and then of course we get introduced to the one, the only bare-assed Paul Bettany as Geoffrey Chaucer, and
I love
he
it.
is just great,
Not
fantastic.
enough dudes hanging dong in movies either. Like, just like, let me see that. Let me see the cheeks. You know, like what? I love it as an introduction to Chaucer too, because it's like, yeah, that's,
Yeah.
You know, like, it's such a...
You kind of bang him down to size already, like, nah.
Yeah. I feel like you really kind of get the correct vibe off of Chaucer there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just introducing him bare-ass naked is so good, because a lot of people, if they don't really mm-hmm. know about Chaucer and, like, completely forgive... mm-hmm. If you don't, if you're just like, you go, oh, Chaucer, that's kind of like medieval, that's therefore highfalutin. And they don't get that this is like some dick joke obsessed, like, smut merchant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's a great way of introducing him and just immediately showing you, like, what he is, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Bettany, he does something that I love, which is when, like, highly accomplished actors who, especially British actors who, you know, come, and they might come from, like, you know, stage backgrounds and stuff like that, when they mm-hmm. get this, like, campy dialogue and stuff like that, and instead of, like, just trudging through it like, you know, they're being shot in the face, no matter how well they might trudge through it, because they're amazing actors regardless, they get excited about it and they just go into it. And that is something Bettany does here. He takes on the role of, like, Geoffrey Chaucer combined with, like, Rowdy Roddy Piper, or, like, you know, a wrestling hype man. And he just goes with it. And he doesn't, like, grit his teeth, and this is I always compare it, because of course I do, to Ewan McGregor in the prequels. He does not care about the stupid names or the corny half Shakespearean dialogue, like George Lucas's stilted dialogue. He does not care. He's going to say, like, words like Ord Mantell and Tatooine and just chew scenery, just like Ian McDiarmid, who's Emperor Palpatine, does. And when people do that, I love that. I really appreciate that, because he just, like, you know, it could be easy for some British guy to be like, I'm not going to pretend to be an American wrestling hype man. I'm not some fucking hillbilly. Because, I mean, like, you know, most of those guys are, like, presented as, like, you know, Southern genteel, you know, I'm going to, you know, whatever. And, you know, he's like, no, I'm just going to get in there, and I got a gambling problem. It's great. It's, you know, tremendous. Did he have a gambling problem, or did they just invent that?
Man, half medieval people had a gambling problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, that's a good
point. So real, you know.
Sorry.
Early modern people, too. Mozart, big gambling problem. Huge.
Yeah. So, you know, another thing, and, you know, this is just straying away from it, but the costuming just...
Oh, delightful. Yeah. Really fun. And see, this is one thing they get right, too, is how bright everything is. Right? Like, you know, it's not like one of these fucking medieval gray fests where they're like, yeah, everyone just dressed in sludge. And there was like, no, nothing. It's like they're going, like, full bore brights and brights. And I love it, you know. Yeah. So, like, that's what it really would have looked like. You would have had that ultra saturation, because that's what medieval people were into. And so I think, like, that's so cool, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I do have to note Heath Ledger with the fake dreads, man. I don't know, man.
The aughts, dude. A lot of wild shit was going on.
Yeah, if you can grow them out yourself, I guess, you know, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I every time I see it, I'm like, damn, the early 2000s, this is wild as fuck.
Oh man, like, what a time to be alive. But what a time to become an adult.
That's true. Exactly. So, like, 30 minutes in, they just decide, they're like, okay, wait a minute. I guess, you know, we haven't done, you know, we haven't explained to the people what jousting is. We got the spectacle. We got the goofy, hard into it. And then they're like, wait. Now let's explain it. And there's just, like, an exposition on, like, jousting.
I love that they do that, like, after the montage.
Yes.
It's bold, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that it's good, because what it does is you're hooked by the time you see the montage. You're like, okay, I'm in. If they had been like, and then you have this man, it wouldn't have worked as well. So you're already in, and then they kind of explain the rules to you. So I think that it's a really smart way of doing it.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I, oh man, I, So another question I had, there's a lot of heralds in this movie. Were they really that common? Like, was that something like every guy, like every knight had like a guy? Because, man,
like, not every knight.
Okay.
Like, but it is, what is true though, is if you are in the business, if you are in the business of, like being a knight who jousts, probably.
Yeah.
You see, this is the difference because you do need hype men.
That's a good
so
point.
If you are the sort of dude that's going from place to place, you announce it. Like, this was a big thing where you kind of like make yourself known.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of be like, oh, he's going to be at this tournament, to kind of drum people up. So A, it's kind of like a reputation thing, and B, it's just it's advertising, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like an ordinary knight, no, but a knight who's on the jousting circuit, yes.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, and so we eventually get introduced to our antagonist, the mustache-twirling French villain here, who is...
Which I love.
Adhemar from, I think, Anjou. I think that's where they say he's from. Played by Rufus Sewell. Delightful. Just great. His, like, introduction is just, like, a smarmy... He's hitting on Heath Ledger's girl. That son of a bitch. And
I hate to see it.
You do. And she's not into it. He's not taking the hint. Just no respect for consent here. And, yeah.
Not great. Like Heath Ledger.
No,
Heath
correct.
Ledger knows what a boundary is.
That's correct.
Heath Ledger would never do it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he waits for her to make the first move. She shows up. Mm-hmm. She shows up with her nips out, and he waits for her to make the first move. And I appreciate that, especially the nips out part. Because like, I think Sosamon is like one of. She has like an it girl look from this time period where like.
Oh, for real? Yeah.
Delightful. And he even sticks in, Adhemar even sticks in a good mercy is weakness monologue, you know, about how, you know, Keith Ledger shows mercy to the guy who turns out to be the Black Prince's brother, which was out of nowhere to me, but, you know, hey. And so, yeah, it's, you know, it's great. We love to see an asshole. I love the little fist on the end of the lance. I love that shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's so good.
It's great.
I like it because too, like, especially in like the 15th century, so you know, like a bit beyond this. They get so fancy with it at tournaments, and everybody's got like a silly helmet, and they got and it's just kind of like a callback to all like the weird little things that they were into, you know, they love to put a weird little guy, you know, on somewhere. And I think that's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So at their first tournament together, Heath Ledger gets first, in the fighting, sword fighting on foot, and, comes in second to Adhemar, in the joust. And he decides, you know, no more fighting on foot. That's for chumps. That's for losers. Mm. I'm going for the big money. You know, upjumped peasant that I am. He's going for the big thing, and he gets a gold trophy. Did they get trophies like this? Please tell me they got like goofy trophies like this.
Yeah, like trophies, not so much. You got money.
Damn. Oh well, that's
I know, on. I know. Yeah. Like, you know, and maybe a lady's favor.
Oh, ooh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
George R. R. Martin loves to stake everything on a joust in the lady's favor.
It's usually like purses. You know, you get a purse full of coins. That's kind of the deal. Yeah, so it's just like straight up money. Yeah.
After that, there are some traditional dances where they dance to like, I guess, like 90s. 90s tech, is it 90s EDM or techno? I don't fucking remember.
Yeah.
And then, so walk me through like the Black Prince. Why, like, it's fun, I like it, but why the Black Prince? Why is he there?
I think the Black Prince because people know who he is, or you know, they've heard
the name.
Of the Black Prince.
Yeah.
It's so it's like, even if they don't necessarily know who he is, it's just like, oh, like that's one of the ones, right? Like everybody knows like who the Black Prince is. They know automatically, oh, he's probably some guy who's good at war, which is true, you know, and you know that immediately. So even if you're like not up on like the Battle of Crecy or whatever, you know, like then you will automatically know. And you know, I think it's like Chaucer. It's like one of those names that you can throw out there. You get the it's got the 14th century stamp. Yep, absolutely, you're right. And it kind of brings people in this particularized way. And then plus, if you do know more about medieval history, then you know you've got kind of more information to work with.
And as numerous people in the chat are pointing out, it was Bowie that they danced to. You're right. I apologize. It just escaped my mind. All I could think of was Low Rider, and I was like, no, that was from the training montage. I was like, they didn't dance to Low Rider, I don't think.
Oh, and as the chat have asked, yes, I mean Hundred Years' War. So it's like the Black Prince won several integral battles during the Hundred Years' War when he was like 16, which is why, you know, it's just like you know, quite interesting. And he eventually cocks it, never becomes king, but you know, a dysentery. I think it was dysentery. It's always
Adamar
fucking dysentery.
always Adamar gets he then gets sent off to the Battle of Poitiers.
Poitiers, yeah, you got it.
So we get him out of the way, and that gives us a chance to watch Heath Ledger woo his lady love. And of course, she's like, "I'm not like other girls. You're not gonna win me by promising to win tournaments for me." And she goes all manic pixie dream maiden, and she's just. She's like lose, and so of course, Heath Ledger being just so good looking, so handsome,
Oh, good looking. Oh
and
my God.
so willing to just get CTE by getting hit in the fucking head,
I know, right?
almost loses a tournament in Paris, but thankfully she pulls it out, turns it around, and tells him to win now and. He wins, and
Is this a metaphor for sex? Question.
question almost we'll find out momentarily.
You
She
know.
she or Chaucer and everyone have they win the they win their money, which they had bet with some French guys who were talking about how the French would wipe the floor with the English, blah 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 blah, and then he And then I think it's that night where he's recuperating in his tent, and she shows up, and she's looking good, and takes advantage of Heath Ledger in his poor disheveled state. He was like, I don't know what's going on, and she was like, here, I'll show you, and I like how, she climbed on him at first, and he's like, oh, it hurts. And then she's like, oh yeah, that sucks. And he kisses him, and he's like, wow, now that I have a boner, I no longer am worried about this gaping
And
wound.
I love too this, like the real medieval thing here about how like she's the horny one, right? She's the one where it's like it's about time to go to Pound Town, right? And you know, and she's really leading the way there. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, she was not gonna stop, and it's insanely hot, of course.
Oh, so,
we love two young kids,
just banging it
kissing.
out.
Yep, they're just gonna bang it out. If this was R-rated, we would have gotten to see a
This is
lot more.
apparently my bang it out hand gesture.
That's the only one. You're like, oh yeah, this is great. Yeah, it is. The movie relies on a lot of tropes to get you there, but but then it,
Mean,
but
whatever it takes, baby. Whatever it takes.
yeah, it does a lot to get to get, we finally get to the end of the movie. They win in Paris. Things are looking great. Nobody's worried about Sir Ulrich von Liechtenstein's patents of nobility, which is just a tremendous, just a tremendous name. Like,
Oh, so good.
literally one, seems like you would come up with if you had to do it on the spot. You're like, Yep, that's me. That,
Yep.
yep. And so, but then it's time to go home to Paris, or I'm sorry, go home to London, and we get to see this really kind of sad scene where we find out that, William's dad gave him away to, apprenticed him away for a better life to a knight, so he could go be a squire. And we see a young Mark Addy there, and we find out that they've been friends, and Mark Addy helped raise William, and that makes it even sweeter. And yeah, it's we get some nice little scenes like this. We get things going, and then it all starts to unravel, because when you go home, you got to go see your family. And that means that the evil French guy who's trying to
Bang your girl.
bang your girl, he's already started talking to her dad. He's wooing her, and now he's found out that your dad is actually a poor guy who lives in sack in, what is it, Cheapside? Yeah. Is Cheapside still a thing? It's still a place, or is it just
Cheapside's still, it's still street here.
Is it still cheap?
Ironically, no, ironically, it's a, everywhere in the city, it's pretty ritzy now.
Yeah. Not nowhere by the they don't have it by the local jousting stadium anymore, so
No,
they've gone
unfortunately.
commercial, moved it to, I don't know, whatever else they have there. Probably a soccer stadium in the middle of a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, football, whatever. Yeah, and the whole thing starts to fall apart. Oh no, he found out, and Heath Ledger does, they're getting ready for the thing. We haven't even talked about the armor, the blacksmith who helps. Her name is Kate. She's great. She's, the feminine touch that the guys need, because Lord knows that they just need a little bit. She's
And also historically accurate because, we have records of female blacksmiths working in London.
Yep,
So, there you go.
yep. And it's just, they get to London, and we come to the big climax. Everything is finally revealed. William reveals that he's a peasant to his girl, and she's like, of course she's like, I don't care, because she's a real one and not worried about
That's right.
socioeconomic status, because in the end she just wants to live like common people. And if she called
Cute,
her
cute
dad,
goal.
she could stop it all. Yeah, I want to live like common people. I want to, nope. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. Yeah.
Banger, banger.
It
One of my
is.
karaoke go-tos is what it is.
Yes, it's an amazing song. And like this movie, the resolution to this movie is like bang, 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 bang. Like they are not stopping for anything. We get like they have the argument, the debate about what they're gonna do, and Chaucer's like, don't do it, and Alan Tudyk's like, don't do it, and so on and so on. And he's like, no, I'm gonna go fucking do it.
I'm
And
gonna do it anyway.
yeah, and he goes in there, and he gets arrested immediately. Like there's no big speech or anything. There's like, nope, get out of here, get the
I
fuck
think
out
that's
of
so
there.
funny. Like that's like that is so like it's incredibly like japes. It's just perfect. No notes. Like really, really good.
Yeah, they didn't, they didn't allow him to have a big speech. That wasn't getting out of it. No speech is going to do this. Instead, going to have to be saved by something unlikely, something tremendous. And so William is in the stocks, he's in jail, and Rufus Sewell comes to talk to him, and he's like, oh, ha 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 ha, I'm gonna bang your girl. I already started talking to her dad. I'm gonna dig that shit out, bro. And he's like, oh fuck, I'm a peasant again, I can't do anything. Also, I'm in these stocks. Even though I think he could have been like, yeah, and hit him with the,
Oh yeah,
whatever.
that would have been, that would have been good.
That's just a little quibble of mine. And so he gets put in the stocks, and Mark Addy walks out to defend him, and just great, just dudes and chicks rocking, stopping
That's
this from
right.
happening, not gonna do it, not gonna have this shit. And it's just, It's great because then, you know, this is resolved in the only way it can be resolved, and that is by the Black Prince Edward showing up and being like, ha ha, Deus Ex Machina, motherfucker, and
That's
just
right, bitch.
cutting the mustard, say he's a knight, he's always been a noble. If you say it's again, if you say it didn't happen, you're against me, and I'm the most popular guy in the kingdom. Also, I'm good looking, you know, just devilishly good looking. Got a
Yeah,
nice little
really good
scar
looking.
right here. Great. And he, you know, he,
Dude's rock, you
yep.
know? Like this is the ultimate way of resolving this is by having just dudes fucking rock, you know? Because it's true. It's true, you know? Yeah.
He couldn't, he couldn't leave his boy there in chains. Wasn't gonna
Yeah.
happen. Not on
Because
his watch.
this is a movie about fundamentally how dudes rock, how chicks rock, how friendship is magic,
That's
and
right.
you know, like that's the way to do it, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It is, it is just, you know, they cut through the bullshit. They cut the whole thing, and we get to the, you know, we get to the end. William comes out, and of course they're going to have one last big joust because, you know, gotta save one more. You know, they were like, it just, you know, they just cut through everything. There's no, like, even like, there's no explaining why, like, days later he's still, you know, like, they're still there waiting to joust. Like, Adhemar was just waiting
Well,
for him to get out of jail. He was like, well, hold on, you know,
to be
yeah.
fair, like I mean, I guess if Adhemar's trying to prove a point,
That's
right?
good.
And as we all know, you know, big tournaments, like a really big tourney is going to last for days.
Yeah, that's true. They're gonna be
So, you
there.
know, it's completely within the realm of possibility.
I guess you're
As
right. It just, I don't know why it seemed like a like weeks to me, but yeah, I guess it was probably a few days.
it's like the other thing is with Adhemar, one of the things they do really well with his character is that he really does like clearly delight in, you know, his theoretical like sports superiority here. So he won't run away, like he's not gonna back off from this, right? Like,
So, you know, we come to the end, and Adhemar has one more trick up his sleeve. He's using a spiked lance. He's
Boo!
boo, you son of a
Boo!
bitch. You had to cheat to win. This is the only way you could do it. And William, you know, he takes a couple blows, takes a blow, takes a blow. Oh God, oh it hurts. Oh, I'm so and you know, we His dad is there. His blind dad has been led out there by his girlfriend, and she's there, and everybody's excited, everybody's pumped, everybody's chanting for, I guess they're chanting for William now. And Paul Bettany gets up, dances around, stands on the Black Prince's throne, which is fun. Just the whole thing. He's, you know, he's just there. He's just chewing as much scenery as he
I
can.
love it. I love
Wrestling
it.
promo, the whole thing. You know, a nice little, you know, a nice little nod to the crowd. You know, the peasant. You know, he's one of you. He's from here. You know, he's a peasant. And they're like, yeah, fuck yeah, this is great. And it's just, you know, delightful. And then William takes a couple of shots with the thing with the spiked lance. He's bleeding really bad. He's, you know, it's things are looking grim, but at the last second his boner fueled magic kicks in, and yeah, he unhorses Adhemar. And from the unhorsing of Adhemar to the final credits, I think is like a minute and a
Like
half.
bang, because you know, because like that's all you need, baby.
Yeah,
That's
that's
all you need. It's
true.
just like, fuck you, that guy's done. We're out.
He knocks him out. There's nothing else about like how Sosamon's dad was gonna farm her out to Adhemar. That's over with.
Done.
All the crowd gathers around him, and they taunt him with his, you know, little saying about you've been weighed and found wanting, weighed, measured and found wanting. And we get it up. Fuck you to that. He's dazed and confused. And then William and his girl kiss. Jocelyn, that's her name. It took me this long to fucking remember her name.
There
William
you
and
go.
Jocelyn kiss. we get it. It like spins around. You could see like the one part in the background of the scene where they had like a real set for like one section of it. And then like when they do like a full spin around, because they want to do the whole thing, you know, get the whole spin, get the whole arena. And you could tell it's like early 2000s CG. Just delightfully so bad. Just delightfully bad. And then it fades. And then it fades into a PowerPoint ending of the stars, and they're kissing because they changed, because old Willie changed the stars. He old slick Willie did it again.
He did it, baby. He did it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Just a delightful delightful romp. Delightful.
It's a fucking romp. It is a romp.
It is. Like, that's all it is. We need romps.
And you know what? Like, we don't have, there are not enough fucking romps anymore, right? This is why everybody lost their shit, quite rightly, for Everything Everywhere All at Once, because it's a romp, and the people want to romp. The people want to fucking romp, okay, homie? Mm-hmm. Right? They do. Like, that's, you know, I'm tired of it. It's like, I don't want to not think in the kind of like Marvel way. I want to not think in, like, you know, in a Dude's Rock kind of way. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, that's true.
That's like, you know, when the planes hit the Twin Towers, the first thing that went with them was the romp.
Yeah. Yeah. They really, yeah. It really, yeah. Life's been worse since 9/11. I think we can all agree. You know, we can get back to these movies. We can do it. So before we
return
to better movies, return to a better movie, return to when we got disappointing, occasionally disappointing, if extremely ambitious Star Wars movies every few years. Bring George Lucas back. Let's just do the whole thing. Fuck it. Bring the 90s back.
Come on.
No, I'm just kidding.
Everyone's always talking about the long 90s, but if that's the case, where's my fucking romp?
Where's my movie? Where's my good movie? Where is it? So Eleanor, any final thoughts before we do some questions?
Oh mate, it's just so fucking good. I guess that it's like either the vibe check, it passes, it exceeds. Mm-hmm. In many ways, this is the standard by which all medievalisms should be measured. Mm-hmm. And if you ask a medievalist, they will usually tell you this, if they have any soul at all whatsoever. You know, there's a lot of dangers out there. And they'll probably tell you the wrong thing, but most of us agree that this whips. It goes incredibly hard. And, you know, there's a reason why we were really into this and we're not into The Last Duel, right? Because it's like, I don't want to fucking go to work every time I see a movie. I want to romp, bitch. How about that?
Oh, man. Yeah.
So, yeah, perfect. No notes. Heath Ledger, inshallah, is looking down on us all right now, you know?
That's true. Every clip I see from The Last Duel, just Ben Affleck being like a dumbass, like the dumbest French asshole. If the rest of the movie is as good as Ben Affleck being a dumb French asshole, I don't know. I might have to give it a thumbs up, but I haven't seen it yet.
I should probably watch it, but it's like, why is everything gray?
Yeah, that's a good point. I can understand how it would bother you. I just, you know, I can sit back from my ivory tower here and be like, nah, that's funny. he's an idiot. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So I guess I'll give my final thoughts. Anybody in the chat, if you want to ask us questions about the movie or what we thought or anything like that, please go ahead and do so. Yeah. For me, great. Great movie. Please make more of them. Delightful, just sports, having fun. You know, the stakes are low. It's a fun movie. You know, they used to show, you know, they used to show shit like this on TNT and TBS. You know, they would run movies like this all the time. Dude.
Nowadays, you'll be arrested and thrown in jail just for making a romp.
That's a good... Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, we got a question here from Kit, who asks, my main one is, how easy would it be for somebody to just fake being nobility?
So, part of what's kind of going on here was, it would be theoretically possible being of foreign nobility, but because sort of getting your hands on the material necessary to participate in tournaments would be incredibly difficult if you weren't.
Right.
So because they've got the stuff that is like, oh, okay, well, you must be nobility, right? Mm-hmm. Because like getting armor, getting the equipment together, having a horse that's appropriate, these things are incredibly expensive and outside of the realms of possibility for average people. Now, this isn't to say that members of the gentry, you know, which is to say like rich peasants couldn't maybe get a hold of it, but it's unlikely. So in theory, one could fake such a thing, but it's going to require a certain amount of money, and it will probably require like a famous pedigree as well. It doesn't happen very often because it's like outside of the realm of possibility for people to do that.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of time.
Yeah, you didn't see too many people faking their nobility.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just kind of too difficult to do it. Also because, you know, they are small circles, like, you know, everybody kind of knows everybody because there's like five of them or whatever. So you would have to do the foreignness. You're definitely not going to get away with it in your own country.
Right.
Or like even indeed in like a neighboring country.
Right.
Like it's just not going to happen.
Well, yeah.
And that's why, you know, what you see is things like sumptuary laws, right? That like people from dressing in a particular way, it's to try to like cement this because it's material goods that are, you know, the signifier that people are going off of.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the other, I guess something that I was thinking about during the movie, you know, with the Liechtenstein stuff, they say he's from like Gelderland and whatever, like, you know, I mean, like, I guess you probably could kind of like sneak something, you know, kind of foreign sounding by people, because I mean, you know, like it's not like everybody's going to know every fucking, every province of the Holy Roman Empire or every part of, you know, Norway or whatever. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like it is just like one of these things where there's no possible way. And like, yeah, so it is the thing that kind of like, you know, maketh the man in this case, because you know, you could go ahead and lie as much as you want. If you don't have the stuff, it's just not going to work out for you.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Another question from Dice Rolling Peasant. What do we know about the kinds of foods that we might expect to see at a joust tourney?
We know that there are a lot fun things that might show up. Pretzels. That's a big one. A lot of bread products show up. You know, you are going to see things like cakes and pies are big. There's a lot of pies, and pies are big, especially kind of in the English idiom with this, because like they are, you know, a thing that you can eat on the go.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like you can kind of eat without having to have, you know, anything else that's going to contain all the meat. So that's like a really, really big one. And that would kind of be the number one thing you'd see. Although there might just be kind of like meats available as well, right? Yeah.
But no turkey legs, not seeing.
Yeah, unfortunately. Legs. Yeah, unfortunately, like turkeys are North American. So yeah, like you're that's, right. not, yep. that's not going to happen. Yeah. But yeah.
That's a good point. People are talking about pretzels in the chat, and now that's all I can think about is a giant soft pretzel.
Just I know I love a soft pretzel. Oh
yeah, delightful. Delightful soft pretzel goodness. Ollie Kant asks, what are some of our favorite lines from the movie?
Okay, my favorite line is, "And as such is beyond contestation."
Yeah,
come on, the Black Prince.
He just dropped like, I love, you know, like the episode of The Simpsons where they find out Skinner is, you know, the Skinner
the whole arm and Tanzarian.
Yeah. And at the end of it, where the judge is like, you know, "And further, I rule that everything goes back to the way it was, and may no one ever speak of it again under penalty of death." Or, you know, so like, I love it when a movie just literally, you know, uncontestable. Like, this French guy. Oh, he can't contest it. Can't do it.
Yeah, he can't do shit. So it's like it's just so funny because it just like draws a line under the thing and like and he says it with like such. Anyway, I love it. Like, yeah, that's, yeah.
Drop that. I think For me, I think probably it would be I like the like change your stars stuff. I think that's very
Oh
cute.
yeah, that's really cute.
It's very sweet. I'm a very when it comes to like stargazing and like moon gazing, I get all like weepy and emotional about all that sort of stuff
It
because
rock.
that's
You
just
see? Do you see? Dudes rock. Thank you. Thank you.
And one thing I absolutely love is Chaucer being like, "I will eviscerate you in fiction," which is
Oh, that
just,
is so good. Yeah. Oh, shit.
which
That's
at
a
the
really
same
good line.
time is like amazing, but then also like is like, "Don't write that I was mad. No
You
one,
know?
don't tell the
Yeah.
media
And
that I was
another
mad."
thing.
Like, "Oh, I'm gonna get you in fiction." Like, "Okay, bro, I just saw your ass 15 minutes ago. Sure, you know, like, yeah." Oh, that's good shit. That is good shit. Somebody use your feet, or
Oh
yeah, you
yeah,
use your
and then
feet.
you used your feet.
Him reuniting with his dad is great. His dad getting to hear him announced as a knight, just tremendous shit. You
So good.
absolutely love to see it. So I think that's about I think it's about gonna do it for us. Oh yeah, the fonging. I love
Oh,
Alan
the
Tudyk just
thonging.
like hitting everyone. Like
Yeah.
again, love just a
Amazing.
drunk. Love like a drunk. You know the irascible drunk who's just like bam. You know he's knocking two people's heads to get. Love it. Just love it. We
So
need
good.
more of those guys.
Oh, I love it. Oh, God, what a movie.
So good, so good. We should go back to at least times when we made these movies. Just great. A shame, absolutely shame that about Heath Ledger. Just
Oh,
he's so
God, I
great.
know.
He's
He's so great.
so charismatic. It doesn't matter.
He's got it, you know, and the world is a poorer place for having lost him. I will say that.
It is. He's great. It's great. I think that's gonna about do it for us for A Knight's Tale. You know, just a really fun movie. I had a lot of fun watching it. Talked My wife's never seen it. We're gonna watch it sometime together because she got excited from hearing me talk about it. Yeah, it's just you know when you get wrestling announcers and just people going nuts like that. It you know you
Yeah,
can't.
I might go watch it now because I was saying to Blair on the way home, yeah, like live stream with Luke about A Knight's Tale, and he was like, "Fuck yeah!" And so, I know where the rest of my evening's going,
Yeah, there you go. Well, anyway, thank you so much, everyone who came out and talked with us. Sorry we had the switch the mix-ups with everything. You can thank YouTube and Twitch for being specifically annoying in different ways. Thank y'all for coming out. This will be available for everyone in a couple days to listen to if you want to go back and check it out or watch this video. But yeah, again, thank you so very much. We hope y'all enjoyed it. And thank you for 300 patrons. And here's to 300 more.
Yeah, love you guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.